So this week, I have the privilege of talking to another very talented podcaster, somebody who understands that our story with God has to be a relational one. Let's welcome the host of the Good News Podcast, Miss Rosalie. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you, Joe. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So I had the privilege of being on season 2 of the Good News Podcast, which is another great show that seriously you guys need to check out. It also celebrates story. So it's great to be able to chat.
I think you're going
to be able to provide a very unique perspective on authentic relationship with God, you know. So let's go ahead and jump into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll start off with a little bit about myself right now. Of course, my name is Rosalie, and I am the host of the Good News Podcast by night, but by day, I'm an operations supervisor. I run emergency services centers that arrange for emergency medical evacuation, so that's kind of like my daytime job. And I'm also a spiritual coach now, and I do that at the capacity of like on an online platform where believers or unbelievers approach this platform and they seek spiritual counsel, whether it be, you know, do you believe in God? How do I know that God is real? Or, you know, just really seeking someone to lean on that can understand them during that difficult time. So that's kind of a little bit about what I do now. But it's not always been like that for me. You know, my journey starts, obviously all of our journey starts at birth. But I will say that when I was growing up, I was not a believer, and I didn't have a real foundation on what a relationship with Christ looks like, I wasn't even ever exposed to that. You know, I grew up in a kind of a Catholic household. My parents, you know, Easter, Christmas, and maybe a couple Sundays a year we would go, but that was just about it. That was the extent of the exposure I had to God and a relationship with God. I did attend Catholic schools, but that still also was very just more like religious than anything, and it wasn't relationship. I never got taught, you know, I never was taught like that. I don't know how to explain it, but I just never was taught like that I can actually talk to God. I can actually talk to Jesus and he could be my friend.
Yeah, so there's a big difference between religion and relationship.
Absolutely.
The way I've described it is growing up God adjacent, where, you know, the name of God is invoked. But for me, it was Baptist, not Catholic. But mm-hmm. It was the two time a year. It was the, you know, living adjacent, like in profession, you know, oh, yeah, we're Christians, but in action, not so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was the case for me, and I did what I knew. You know, it wasn't, you know, it was to no one's fault, but I did what I knew. So ultimately, when I graduated high school and then I went to college, I did choose a Catholic university, which that was one of the weirdest choices that, you know, I feel like I've made ever in my life, because at that point in my life, I knew, or I felt like I did not believe in God. I was like, I'm not sure about this God dude. I've never, you know, had a relationship with him, but I still chose to do a Catholic university because of my foundation, because that was the only thing I knew. So that was a very interesting choice. And so when I was in my early years of college, I was trying to get to know him. But, you know, I was young and I was making not so great decisions. So I would fall off, you know, every single time I tried to approach my relationship with God, something came in the way, whether it was like, you know, it was just too difficult, or I got distracted by boys. That was a big one. Or, you know, school, sorority, other things, whatever it was, something always grasped my attention. And he was never that number one focus in my life, which caused me to, and I'm not saying that this is the only thing that caused me to, but which, you know, caused me to make some bad decisions because I didn't have good footing. Ultimately, I ended up dropping out of college, and that was for me detrimental. You know, like I had placed such a high standard on, you know, the goals that I had for myself and I was supposed to be the first person in my immediate family to graduate from college, and all these other things that, you know, really tore me down. And from that moment on, I really struggled with a lot of things. I struggled with self-confidence. I struggled with self-worth. You know, I would even say I was even depressed at one point or another, because I went, I had to go back home. So I lived in New Jersey for college, and then I ended up going back home to Massachusetts, and it almost felt like coming home with failure, you know, and I didn't want that. And so you would think that this is the point in my story where I kind of like refocus, but it's not, you know. I kind of spiraled in a downward manner, and it was not good at all. You know, I became this woman or young adult who focused on seeking pleasures in partying and being promiscuous. I was dating a lot. Everything that I was ever taught as a young lady kind of went out the window at that point. I was just kind of living pretty recklessly. I would say, you know, I'm not proud of it, but it has to be said, I was not who I am today. And all those choices led me into a relationship that I should have not been in. And I say should have not been in because, you know, had I focused on my walk with God, things would have been different. But I still think that everything happened according to the will of God. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why. I sought this relationship with this man. And at that point in time, it was probably circa 2016-ish when we started dating. And that's around the same time that I kind of told myself, all right, Rose, you gotta do something different, right? So I started seeking God, but I also got into this relationship, and I didn't know that ultimately this relationship was going to lead me away from God, but he had all of the things that I thought would lead me closer to God. He wanted to be closer to God as well. He was Christian. He had been baptized a year before. Like, there was many things that about him that were attractive to me, to someone who was looking, who A, had self-worth issues and looking for validation in a man, and also looking for something to fill her heart, right? Because that's what it was. I was trying to fill my heart. So I thought a relationship would do that for me. So I got into this relationship, and I probably did not heed any warning signs, because when I say warning signs, I say, like, you know, those red flags that in the beginning of a relationship you're like, you probably shouldn't be with this person. I blew through them all. And, you know, I always tell myself, was that the Holy Spirit then? And I say, absolutely. Because even though I wasn't a believer, I was still, you know, the Holy Spirit was trying to heed, like, no, don't go down this path. But I did. And I was, you know, and that was more to please my own flesh, right? Ultimately, this relationship from the very start was abusive, you know, first verbally, then emotionally. And then ultimately physically, we ended up living together after like a year and a half of dating. We ended up in the same apartment, and, you know, this was where I was in my walk with God at this point in time. I was going to church physically every single week. I was, you know, carrying around my Bible. I thought I had a relationship with God. I thought that, you know, I was doing the right thing. And I think that says enough. Me saying I was doing the right thing says enough of what was my foundation, you know?
Isn't it amazing how quickly the character can get molded? You know what I mean? Like, you know how, you know the words to the songs, you know when to raise your hand, all of that kind of stuff. But it's putting forward the effort to put up this character, this
Absolutely.
Front for people.
Oh, yeah. The way I explained that, I was definitely like putting up a facade for sure, because the reason why I say that, because a lot of people say, well, you don't think you were being, you know, intentional or true to, you know, your circumstance. And I said, no, because I knew better. I knew that what I was doing was just going and through the motions and going home and faking the funk, because I knew that what I was feeling, you know, if I shared it with other people, that, you know, it would not resonate to what God could do for me, because I had been hearing about all these other great testimonies and what God's doing for other people and all this other stuff. And for me, I just was like kind of locked in that, going through the motions, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. You know, But at the back of my head, I think I always knew that I wasn't seeking him. I was just kind of going through the motions. And I think that was a part of the way I grew up, you know, the way that I was, it was just the way that I was raised. It was something that I saw, and we are humans and we do repeat learned behaviors by, you know, what surrounds us. So I never saw my parents, you know, praying on their knees to God. I never saw them, you know, doing anything outside of just taking me to church every now and then and telling me, like, to not steal and not lie. So, right. And that was the extent of my moral standing or footing, I would say. But to get back on track, you know, that still didn't stop me from making really terrible decisions. Even though I had even just that little bit, I didn't, you know, as the relationship progressed, I became more depressed, more unhappy, and more desperate. I kept on searching for reason to stay with him, even though it was an abusive relationship. And I think, you know, for me, looking back, I now understand that I was trying to fill a hole that no man could ever fill, because I wasn't searching for my worth in Christ. And one of the things that led me to that revelation was ultimately the end of that relationship. And so the end of the relationship came when he tried to kill me. And before that point in time, the relationship was unstable, as it, you know, it was growing more and more unstable as the time went on. And this was probably two and a half years after we started dating. So in November of 2018, and he was becoming more abusive and I was becoming more distant. And ultimately I decided, because I was still searching for that validation in relationships and men, I decided to go outside of my relationship and be unfaithful. And I grew another relationship with another man while I was still with my ex. And of course, this was a very tumultuous situation, because I was, you know, committed and living with this man, but seeing someone else. And this caused the violence to increase, to the point where, you know, one night we were coming home from it must have been a party or a nightclub, but we were both intoxicated, you know, and that's to say, honestly, apart from that night, the drinking was very habitual. It was all the time too. So that's another issue that was going on during that time. So it was alcohol abuse, and then, you know, and unfaithfulness, lying, cheating, all of the, you know, all of the things. Like, I did it all. It was not a pretty scene.
Usually when you're at that point, and I'm speaking from experience here, mm-hmm. in for a penny, in for a pound sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. at that point, it's a buffet of issues going on. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And I was just thinking about this the other day, especially how when we're so deep in sin, it's so easy to compound that sin, like, because definitely. One thing goes to another and leads to another. And it's just, you know, and that's kind of what was going on in my life at that time. I was spiraling, and, you know, to cover one sin, I would have to lie, and then that's another sin, and then kind of keep going back and forth. It was that night when he already knew that, you know, I was being unfaithful, but that night he was just out of control. And so we got back, and I think, you know, the intoxication doesn't help. But we got back to the apartment, and ultimately he tried to kill me. He strangled me to the point of my passing out. And I did not know how I really got out of his chokehold. You know, that's a memory I still don't recollect. But I do recall escaping his apartment and then being able to, I ran into somebody it was a three-story building. So I ran into, like, neighbors that happened to be coming in. And mind you, this is like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, because, you know, we were out partying. So the mere fact that there was somebody even in the building that was awake and coming out, you know, that was just God for me. You know, that was a divine encounter, that someone could stop him in his tracks, you know, or at least try to de-escalate the situation. And so they helped me call 911, and I did. And then after that, he was brought into custody, and then I was taken to the hospital. But, you know, I speak about it now so calmly, but it wasn't all like that. But what I can say is that there was and now that I am here on this side of things, I can identify that there was like a hedge of protection that was beyond everything that I've ever experienced, anything in the physical that I could even explain, because from just being released of his chokehold, this man that's bigger, that, you know, I'm tiny, and not recollecting this, and it's been 2 years now, almost 2 years, and I've done therapy, I've done everything, and I still can't recollect that one moment of how I am alive. So I have to, you know, after that point, I had to attribute it to God. I had to. There was no if, buts, or ands. Like, there was no question about it. A lot of people try to question me, like, well, science and all this. I'm like, I don't care. You know what the craziest part about all of this is? That if it was in the Lord's will, I would have died and I would have been damned to eternal hell, because I was not saved. I was not a believer at that time. I didn't know God. You know, and a lot of people is like, oh, well, you know, didn't you accept Jesus before that? Yeah, but I didn't have a relationship with him. I didn't know him. I didn't actually accept him. I accepted what I thought was acceptance of Jesus.
Have you ever read the Left Behind series or seen the movies?
Oh, no.
Okay, there's a scene in the original Left Behind movie where the guy, the pastor who's left behind, says this line, and it has resonated with me. Mm-hmm. He goes, there's a difference between knowing and believing, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there really is. You know, you can know all of the right things, you can say all of the right things, and you can pray the prayer and go through those motions.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, God sees past the front and sees the heart of the matter. And if your heart's mm-hmm. not in it, and you're doing it because it's quote unquote the right thing to do, it's just empty works. You know,
it
we've
was.
Seen that in the Bible. We've seen that in humans all throughout history.
Right. Absolutely. And it was for me. And I think that's what, you know, so ultimately that night and going forward was what led me to understand that, make that realization that I had known about God, but I hadn't actually believed in him. Because if had I believed in him, you know, one of the things that I think my pastor really recently said, that a true encounter with God causes transformation. And mm-hmm. I was just like, that's so true. That is exactly what happened with me. That was my first true encounter with God, and it caused a deep, deep transformation in me. And mine's, you know, came over some time. But not everybody's is like that, you know. Everybody's happens it in a different manner. But for me, the months that followed that event, you know, were difficult. They were dark because I was still trying to get out of the person that I was. I had recognized what God did for me, but I was still battling those demons that I had been battling before. But now I had awareness, right? I had the knowledge to know, okay, well, God can help me. So I had to be really intentional about seeking God, especially in those first couple months when we had court proceedings, we had things, you know, I had to face him in court and all these other things that I always talk about, you know, this part, especially the court part, where I know that I couldn't have done that on my own. I know I couldn't have survived on my own, first of all, but then I know I could have not done the court proceedings on my own, because that required a piece of God that only God can give you, because you're standing in the same room as someone that tried to kill you. So that was, for me, I felt God very much so in the very first couple months, but it wasn't easy. It was intentional seeking of God that changed and made my relationship with Christ what it is today. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to read the Bible. I didn't even want to go to church, especially because I was battling PTSD. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be seen outdoors. I didn't want to expose myself to any, because there was a time frame where he was not in jail, so I didn't want to expose myself to any possibility of even running into him. So, you know, I was But I knew I had to. I knew that the Lord had said, okay, like now, like that was meant to shake me up. And he said, now come serve me. And the beautiful thing about when that happened, Joe, is that he didn't, you know, although this huge traumatic thing happened to me, I didn't feel afraid after. I knew that the Lord used this event in my life to bring me to him. A lot of people would be like, well, why would God do that, and get mad and fear, and like, you know, like I don't actually feel protection. But that didn't happen for me, you know. It was an overwhelming sense of peace that now I know that I need to serve him. And that's kind of how I got to here.
The Bible talks about this level of peace that God brings, you know, Isaiah 26:3, mm-hmm. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast on the Lord. That kind of peace, that radical transformation that happens like that, that only can come from God. You know what I mean? Especially if you've done the paces beforehand. You know, I've talked to, in just doing this show alone, I've talked to people that have grown up in the church. I've talked to people who came to Christ later on in life, all of mm-hmm. those things. And it seems like there's this universal thread among, regardless of how you got there, where you have to have this come to Jesus moment. And, you know, a lot of times Christians from birth will call it the dark night of the soul sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But for people that kind of take the long way around, I think there's a measure of shedding the identity that you've built up for yourself, that the world mm-hmm. has bestowed upon, all of those kinds of things, and really reconciling the idea that the God that created everything, the creator of everything, not only knows you, but loves you. That changes mm-hmm. everything. That
absolutely.
That intimacy, that personal relationship. And so it totally makes sense when I hear your story of like, you know, I hit this point and I just, you know, the fear and all that just kind of melted away. That makes complete and total sense. Even if you're not mm-hmm. Automatically, you know, there. You know what I mean? Like, oh, right. I got saved yeah. and my whole life is now suddenly changed and all of that.
Yeah.
Transformation is a process, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love that you brought up the whole identity part, because that was a huge piece for me. Because I had built up my own identity on who I thought I was and where I got my value from, which was obviously an unhealthy place and all this other stuff. It was that process for me that when I came to God, he said, all right, now let me show you who I made you to be and who you're gonna be. And I was just blown away by him. Like, he kept on, and it was the process of me just coming to him. There was not requests, there was not, you know, because I barely wanted to be there, you know? So it was just me. I'm like, okay, God, I'm showing up again, you know? Yeah. And that was basically my process. I was just showing up every single day and asking him to show me, because I had gotten to a point of exhausting every single worldly thing that could fill me. Right.
Yep.
That's where I was at that point. I had gotten to the point where I was broke at that time. I had no money because I had used it on partying, on whatever it was. I was, you know, being promiscuous. I had used everything in the book to make me feel good about myself, and it didn't work. And so I was like, all right, you show me, God. And I think that when we come to that place of surrender after an event like that, that's when he really can start working in us. And, you know, for me, that's my case. I mean, after about a year of my, you know, post that event, was when I gave my life publicly to Christ. I baptized in November of 2019. And so it was, and I wanted to mention that because it took that entire year for me, and not to say that everybody needs to go and get baptized, but for me, it took that entire year for me to say, okay, and really understand the process that God just really brought me through, and then know and lay down my life to him, you know? So it took me about 12 months, and then I got to that point where I'm like, all right, I'm ready to just do this for him forever. And ever since then, it's just been a great ride. I then came up with the Gnuth podcast and stuff. So,
what was the inspiration to share your story? Because that can be a daunting thing to sit in front of a live mic and talk about some of the not so appealing parts of life.
Well, Joe, there was no inspiration. I'll tell you the truth. I was sitting in my car praying to God one day, and he told me, you know, you're going to use your story one day. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I'm over here thinking, I'm like, all right, what does he want me to talk about? And that was probably in June of 2020. And then fast forward to September of 2020, he goes, it's time. And he gave me no instructions. And I'm like, what do you mean it's time? And I was scared, Joe. I did not want to do this. So the inspiration didn't come from me wanting to do it. It came from obedience. Ever since I've been walking with the Lord, you know, I've noticed that every single thing that I touch is tied to my obedience. And so when he told me to go and speak on my story, of course I was very hesitant, but I did it anyways. Not that people around me didn't know what had happened, but not everybody knew what had happened, because I was fortunate enough that our trial didn't go all the way. It went to pre-trial and then he took a plea. So I didn't have to face public, you know, like the public trial or any of that kind of stuff. So that was a blessing. So I only told who needed to know, you know, but right. Little by little, I started telling, you know, a friend group here, a friend group there. And then ultimately, when he gave me that revelation that I would use my story to help others, I said, all right, I'm going to do it. So that's kind of how I started the Gnuth podcast. And really, that's the purpose, you know, to inspire others to speak on their stories, because I think it promotes healing. Part of my own journey after I started speaking on it has been so amazing. I've been blessed.
Yeah, I remember the first time that God pushed me towards speaking about the divorce and all of those things in my life in front of a microphone. I'm like, all right, so you want all of our audience to leave. Fantastic. Wonderful. All right. So, but my wife now knew, like, people knew. But I didn't necessarily go around screaming it from the rooftops, because I had already been told from a fair handful of Christians that I was doomed to hell because I had a divorce. So, like, I'm not trying to spotlight on that. But as I'm praying about this, I realized, like, I'm not the only dude who's gone through this. Other people have gone through this, and other men have been rejected by the church because of this. And somebody who's been through those paces needs to stand up and say, no, we serve a God who's bigger than all that, whose the blood of Jesus covers all sins. There is no except this, you know.
Absolutely. And I agree. I think that that's, for me, from my perspective and my experience, that's what it was for me, you know. Someone who would walk the same lines as me, feeling not worthy and feeling depressed, and then fall into a relationship that is abusive. Ultimately, I want to save as many people from that. I don't believe that we all have to make each other's mistakes, right? Right. And even if they do, then you're there to as wise counsel for them, and you can even just share in that empathy and that experience with them, because God didn't call us to go through things alone. You know, He right. called us for companionship. So.
Oh yeah, the last, so all debates aside, for better or for worse, the last year has shown that human beings were created for community.
Yeah, I think about my before and after, right? I think about God using all things for good for those who love Him. And had I not changed my life, I think that I could have very much well been still on the same path I would have been on, you know, I was on, seeking relationships for pure, you know, pleasure. And but because I didn't, because I laid down my life to Him, He used that to turn it into something that would first bless me and bless others. And I think that's the, I think that's how you can identify something is from God, right? Does it bless you and does it bless others? Because that's, God is generous. He wants to bless us all. So
yeah, there's two things that I wanted to circle back to. You know, we serve a God that God from Genesis to Revelation, we see that God does not want to hold back from us. And that if we step up in full faith, earnestly seeking his will, we don't need to sit there and beg. We don't need to sit there and say 15 Hail Marys. We can just come to him in authentic relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. And I love that you said it's a part of our authentic relationship, because a lot of people don't understand that. When you're in a relationship with someone, you know, an earthly relationship, there's give and take, right?
Yep.
So when you're in a relationship with Jesus, there's give and take. He uses us to bless others, and then he receives, and then we receive blessings, you know? So I think that people don't often look at Jesus as being able to be in a relationship with Jesus, but there's benefits right there, you know? Not that I could ever give anything to God, but I'm gonna try.
Well, we're all kingdom citizens, and I think it's important to note that if you look at the times that Jesus mentioned kingdom, right? A lot of churches will teach that the kingdom of God is heaven. And that's part of it. That's the aspect of not yet to come. But there was present tense language there. When Jesus was talking, he was speaking in the present.
And absolutely.
When the moment that he did what he did, the kingdom was at hand. And suddenly now we have on earth, we are Christ's representative here on earth in the world, not of the world, right? And so as kingdom citizens, it's our job to push forward the kingdom of God. That could be through our story. That can be through actions. Not that it's works, but God uses everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally concur on that, because even if we, like you said, even if it's just works, it still works for him. And, you know, a faith without works is dead. So we still have to do work, but we have to do it according to his will. It has to be the things that he wants us to do. You know, if you're just doing works and not listening to him or not heeding the spirit of God, then you're advancing your own agenda and not his kingdom.
Yeah, that's why we've
it may be good, but it's not his will.
Right. Well, they say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know what I mean? You can have the best of intentions, but if you're not in step, you know, you could step up. You know, I've heard plenty of people that preach the prosperity gospel and things like that. That like, oh, I want all these zeros at the end of my paycheck, so that way I can go out and I can give to others and all of those kinds of things. Take it from somebody who's been there, made the money, and like had the empire and fallen. That's real easy to say when you don't have the money, but once you have the money, your priorities have a tendency to change. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just about, you know, how much you give. It's about using the wisdom of God when you do give it, because you're not meant to bless every single person. I know that sounds kind of controversial to say, but you know, we all have individual networks that the Lord has pre-picked out for us to bless. You don't have to go handing it out to everybody, because they might not be in the people that the Lord has asked you to bless, you know? But nonetheless.
Yeah, not every single person is going to interact with every single person. So yeah, that absolutely.
But I think that's the beauty of it too, because like that's how we approach our callings, right? Of podcasts, like our ideas here align. You know, you're sharing stories on believers, and so am I. But we don't have the same, you know, pool of people that we're gonna be able to touch. So
yeah, absolutely, same basic idea, but you know, it's entirely different networks of people that are gonna be affected by this. There was something that you had said before that really that resonated with me. We've all heard the Matthew West song, Motions, right? I don't want to go through the motions. But sometimes going through the motions and just showing up, regardless of whether or not you want to, but still showing up regardless, that gives Jesus opportunity to room to move. You know what I mean? Just being obedient and being willing to show up. And I think you hit the nail directly on the head. And I think that's gospel. When you say that when you show up and you're obedient, that God gives and that God blesses and talks and interacts and all of those things. That's exactly what the Bible teaches.
Yes, absolutely. He honors our obedience. And I'm still learning that, honestly. But in that time period, I saw it just manifested so quickly because of my transformation, right? Because there were things that I didn't want to give up. And there was ways that I was feeling that, you know, I was like, this is never going to go away. And I just couldn't understand. But that intentional seeking of him every single day, whether I wanted to or not, whether I felt like it or not, because, you know, we're human. We want to sleep. We'd rather sleep than get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray with God. So, you know, and even, you know, the going to church on Sunday and then going back for Bible study on Wednesdays, like I didn't want to do any of that. Like I felt like, but I had to make the choice. I told myself, I was like, you know, even with my social life, I was like, all right, well, if it's on Sunday or Wednesday, you're not going. And that was the first major change I made to my life. I just said, if it interferes with the times that I know that I'm supposed to be at in the house of God, no. And then gradually it became something else. It became, well, if, you know, it's after midnight and it's, you know, there's going to be men there, whatever, I'm not going to go. If it's going to involve drinking, I'm not going to go. I didn't give up drinking all the way, but like, you know, it was progressively smaller. Like now I have a glass of wine every now and then, but it wasn't nothing like, it's nothing like what it was before. So those little changes came and it truly manifested a huge transformation in me, but it wasn't without having that intentional seeking daily, regardless.
I'm glad that you mentioned that because I think there is a bridge too far to be had when you're talking about these kinds of things where it just becomes dogma and rules and just meaningless guidelines and all of that. But I think there's beauty in when a person makes intentional efforts to start putting up the guidelines and start to say, okay, where is the heart in all of this? Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, our relationship with God is, you know, there's a reason why the big illustration is marriage, right? Between marriage and between the church and Christ. Because when you're married, there's complete and total transparency, or at least there should be, right? You know, there is no boundaries. That's just, you are now fully and completely doing life together. You are essentially one. And that's exactly the way that we should be living out our faith.
Absolutely. You know, and it's not to say that, you know, everybody's convictions are going to be the same, because when those were mine in the beginning, you know, those were the things that I needed to do for myself to be able to get to a place where I could trust that I would not fall off from my path with God. And that was the biggest reason why. It wasn't to be, you know, religious or anything like that. It was because as humans, we have to recognize that there are certain things that are going to make us fall off from the path that we're supposed to be on. And if we cannot identify them, we can't prevent them.
Right.
And that was what I did. You know, I identified the environments that I couldn't be in during that time period.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I think, again, that's biblical, right? We were uniquely and specially made, each one of us different. That speaks to the fact that we are each going to have our own unique relationship with God. It's not some cookie cutter. It's the problem with dogma and rules. It's just, you know, if you try to give blanket here's to everybody, you know what I mean? Not to change the subject at all, but that's why I believe in free will. That's why I so believe in free will, because God is a gentleman. And God gives us the ability to make choices, because you can't look at somebody, put it into human terms, right? If somebody looks at you and says, I'm going to force you to love me, I'm going to force you to worship me, you're a robot, you don't get a choice in the matter. That's not love.
Right.
That's not love.
No.
And so, you know, each one of us needs to be aware of who we are, what we are. You know, science dictates that each person's body chemistry is different. We each have different triggers. We each have different chemical imbalances or whatever. You know what I mean? Some of us, you know, we might need to deal with addiction issues or anger issues or lust issues or whatever those issues are. They're specific to the person, and it's that person's responsibility to make sure that, you know, not because you need rules, but making sure that you're doing what you need to be doing to be able to die to the flesh, to make the conscious choice against the flesh and for Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Joe. That's good.
So, we ask each one of the guests for a couple of parting pearls of wisdom. So, what pearls of wisdom do you have for the audience?
Trust God. I know that seems so simple, but that's really the foundation of any relationship with God, of anyone's relationship with God, because we as humans do not have the capacity to understand everything. That's why Jesus says, I cannot reveal everything to you at this time, you know. We don't have the capacity to understand everything, so it's our relationship with God is going to require a lot of trust. And, you know, it's going to be tested. It's going to feel like, you know, he's leaving you out in the pouring rain sometimes. But I think that all of that, and it's biblical, produces perseverance, which produces just a beautiful perfection in who we are. And perfection, I don't mean right now, I mean a lifetime of perfection, because our ongoing perfection is going to be matured in different levels in different ways as we seek God and, you know, in new levels of him. So, but it's going to require trust. That's what I'm still learning to this day. You know, every single time I don't commit something to him fully, it's like a panic. So just trust God.
Trust is a three-dimensional word that God and I are still on that journey. But yes, at the foundational level for authentic relationship, trust is key. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And even till this day, you know, like there's days, so I don't think it's going to be simple. And it doesn't matter how far in your walk you are with God. You can still have that doubt and that anxiety, and that doesn't make you less connected to God or, you know, in less relationship with him. But I do believe that the deeper our relationship with Christ is, the easier it is to trust him. So if you're feeling like you can't trust God, get into his word, talk to him.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about God, is we are blessed with the understanding of the character of God. If you jump into the word, you can see from Genesis to Revelation the character and the constant of God.
Absolutely.
And so if you the more you come to know his character, the better, the easier it is to know, to be able to trust him, you know.
Absolutely.
So let people know where they can find your show.
Yes. Well, I'm on all major platforms, but to easily find the Good News Podcast, you can go on www.thegoodnewspodcast.org.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you coming on.
It was a pleasure.
Another awesome conversation in the books. You guys definitely need to go check out Rosalie over at The Good News Podcast at thegoodnewspodcast.org. The link will be down in the episode description. Thanks so much, guys, for joining us on this journey. Next week is going to be the wrap-up episode of sorts, where I'm going to go through, share with you guys a bit of what's been going on in my heart since having these conversations and embarking on this journey, and have a conversation about whether or not there's going to be a season two. But until then, as always, be blessed, and we'll catch you down the road.